Take your Bibles, turn with me to the New Testament book of 1 John. Keep in mind there's a Gospel of John, and then in the back toward the book of the Revelation, there's also three small letters of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and that's where I'd like you to be today, 1 John chapter number 3. In the back at the information center, my wife and I have our prayer card there. I welcome you to pick those up. Probably not nearly as cool as a gift pastor's going to give our guests today, but as a consolation prize, you can take our prayer card. 1 John chapter 3, thank you, church, also for your hospitality last night. I appreciated the opportunity to fellowship and share in the meal and be here for the service. Thank you for your kindnesses to us. And I want you now to look with me in 1 John chapter 3, and I want you to go with me to chapter 3, verse number 1. Behold, that's a word which simply means to stop and to consider and to see. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. So now he's referring to the Father being God. And he's saying, I want you to stop and consider the kind of love God offers. The kind of love God offers is a love that is for all, at all times, consistent love, and not whimsical love, and nothing which is imitated by this world and what they call love. The love of the Father is sincere and demonstrated both in creation and at Calvary and His soon return. We know that this love that He has is an everlasting and overwhelming love. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. This idea that God loves us and brings us into His family is an amazing love. We who are saved know what it is to be adopted. We don't belong in His family. There was nothing we could offer of our own to merit salvation, but He, through His love, chose to adopt us when we trusted in Him. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Such a critical statement for this hour. Do not ever believe that the world should accept us. They did not accept Him. They will not accept us. And our job is to continually reach them. Note further, if you would, verse 2, behold, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Would you pray with me? Dear Father, I thank you for the privilege to be here this morning. Thank you for the time of testimonies in song that we heard. And Father, I thank you for this church's commitment to world evangelism. And God, with all of my heart, I just want you to fill me with your Spirit. Give me clarity of thought. Help me to convey that which you place upon my heart for this hour. And as your people contemplate what you would have them to do, I pray that you will be pleased with our faith as we seek to give to cause evangelism to go forward, both here in this county and around the world. Help me now, I pray. Help your people as they listen. For this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When you read 1 John 3 and 1 John 4, you're going to see a lot about how Christ offers a love which includes us. Many in this world will not believe that they are loved. In fact, some will believe they're so messed up, not even God could love them. The Word of God stands as a testimony against that thought. God loves you. You say, well, no, God couldn't love me. In that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ offers a love which includes us. Christ offers a love which is beyond understanding. Christ offers a love which cost Him everything. And Christ offers a love which compels me, as we read in the third verse, to purify myself, to lay down my life, and to live for Him. Jump ahead, if you would, please, in verse 11, as John is building the contrast between the world not knowing, the world's system of hate, God's system of love, the world not understanding us, but yet we who are God's children understand this love, or think we can. Notice what he says in 14. This is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. Wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. You say, does that really mean what it sounds like? Because it sounds like I'm supposed to love everybody, and I don't. There are people I don't love. Well, the Bible says it's a clear indicator of your relationship status with God. You have to love everyone, including your siblings. You have to love everyone. You say, well, Brother O'Malley, there's some weird people in this church. I know you're here. My tribe, my people, the weird ones. But the fact is that we are called upon to love everyone. So that cannot apply to me. Surely there's got to be an easier version that changes it and makes it sound like just love the lovable. But we're not here to just love the lovable. That's easy. Our job is to love everyone. And in fact, it's a marker. It's an identifier. Your love for your brother is an indicator that you are God's. So, well, I got a list of people I don't like, and some of them are in this church, and I don't like them. So what? You have to love them. I don't know if I believe that. I didn't make this stuff up. God put it in the Bible. Take it up with Him. You're supposed to love everybody. Right. You say, well, you can't say that in front of my kids. We're trying to pass on generational hate for our enemies. And now you're telling them that in front of my kids, I got to love everybody. Yes. It's our job. Notice what it says. Whosoever, 15, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. Wow, that's pretty clear. You can't hate. The world hates. We don't hate. You say, well, can I say I just don't prefer? Yes. But we don't hate our brother. We love everybody. You say, well, Brother O'Malley, explain further. You know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God. Remember verse 1? What manner of love the Father hath given or bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And now he says, hereby perceive we the love of God. What does the word perceive mean? It's to see and to know and to understand and comprehend. So we get the big picture of God's love when we see something take place. Verse number 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. That's a phrase John will use 7 times in his writing. And the idea is there on the slide, which thankfully they put that up earlier, so I wasn't as distracted by, oh, shiny squirrel. There, I got it. Do I have a loving willingness? That is the essence or the sense of the word, phrase, he laid down his life. That there ought to be this loving willingness. Last night, Chris and Molly, are they here this morning? They were here. I don't know that they were going to be here this morning. I think he said he had a meeting. But they were here and they had this little infant. And Colton, is the little baby's name, right? And they had this little child. There's no question when the baby cries, what does mom do? She doesn't pull out the timesheet and say, buddy, I put in 4 minutes extra than you do. You go get the kid. What does a mom do? Some of you are saying, that's a great idea. I never thought about it. That's not the right thing. But there's this loving willingness that says, we take care of our own. And this is what John is writing. He said, you want to see love demonstrated? Oh, it's not like Cain. Cain killed his brother. It's like Christ. What does Christ do? He laid down his life. You say, well, phew, good thing I don't have to do that. You better read the rest of the verses, because notice what it says in 16. You know, if I'm going to keep coming down there, I better bring my Bible. Getting lots of steps in today. And we, 16, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Whoa! I'm supposed to die for people? Well, as we read the context, we then get an understanding. There ought to be this loving willingness in us to give all of who we are, all of our resources, everything that embodies who we are, and say, God can have whatever He wants of mine. Wow. Whatever He wants. What's your name?
Caleb.
Caleb. Yes, sir. Come help me. At least this kid has shoelaces. Felt like I was on the struggle bus last night with Ethan. Where's Ethan? Yeah, you moved. You hid with your family. Good call. Hid behind mom and dad and said, maybe he won't even remember my name. Caleb, how old are you?
I'm 18.
Okay. Caleb's 18. Caleb. Think about this question I'm going to ask you.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. We're looking at these verses which say that I ought to lay down my life for the brethren. What did I say that meant? Were you paying attention?
No.
Look at the big sign. Last two words.
Loving willingness.
Loving willingness. Yes, you're so brilliant. Yeah, I know. I'm doing the same thing. Caleb, do you own stuff?
Yes.
Like what stuff? Please don't say
I have an old green car.
An old green... Quantify. What is old?
1998.
He said 1998. I got shoes from 1998.
Me too.
Oh, stop it. And so I have this old green car. What other stuff do you have, Caleb?
I have a 22.
May death come soon.
I have a 22.
I have a 22.
Yeah.
I have a 23. Oh, no. You mean a gun. Okay. What else?
I have a pen.
I have a pen.
Yeah. I have books.
I have books.
I sleep in a sleeping bag.
I sleep in a sleeping bag. I want to go further. I do want to explore that. There is enough of a distraction. It was a squirrel running by with a sleeping bag that makes me want to ask further. Do you have a bridge to put this underneath the sleeping bag? Never mind. I have a sleeping bag. What else?
Camping gear.
Camping gear. Are your parental units in the room?
No.
I can see why they're watching over the sleeping bag. Okay, Caleb, here's the deal. How much of that can God have?
All of it.
Even the old green car?
Yeah, no problem.
No problem. Is there anything you would keep back from God?
No.
Not at all?
No.
But I said, do you have stuff? And you said, yes.
So you're saying that's my stuff and not God's stuff.
Ah, see, that's what I was saying. Caleb, you're not the dullest knife in the drawer. You're doing well.
I got it.
You got it. So how much stuff do you have?
None.
Why? Because I have a
loving willingness.
Look at you. You're so sharp. Are you married? You want me to take care of that now?
Yes, sir.
Go sit down. A loving willingness. Is that what you have? Can God have your stuff? He said, well, God can have the old green car, but he cannot have the red new one. God can have my old stuff. But no, a loving willingness says it's all his. I retain nothing for me. Can God have all of your resources? Not all, but he can have most. Anything I have two of, God can have one of. That's the kind of Christian I am. But is that how he saved us? Did he only give us part of himself? Or did he give all of himself? You see, his love reached down to the lowest and the furthest out. His love reached to the highest and the despised. His love reached the connected and the disconnected. His love reached the broken and the bruised, the rejected and the rebellious, and the accepted and the included and the dejected. His love accepts all. And he is looking to us to say, I will have the same loving willingness he had with all of who I am. Old green cars, 22s, and a sleeping bag. I do have to talk to you after church, but that'll be a different conversation. The Bible teaches us that the heartbeat of God is a loving willingness, and he's looking for that in his kids. Have you ever had a moment in your family where the kid does something and you look at the kid and you say, or you look at your spouse and say, well, maybe Ethan's parents last night, I don't know. But you look at the kid and say, whose kid are you? Yeah. Tuttle, right, Brother Tuttle? Yeah. Was that last night for you? It's like his mother. No, he's like his father. You have shoelaces on today, buddy? Good call. I wonder how many times God could look at us and say, whose kid are you? You claim to be mine, but the loving willingness is not there. You know what missions conference time does? It brings us to a place of understanding what God's love ought to be doing to us. I want to give you 517 things to write down. How about we just do five instead? Love does something to me. Mr. and Mrs. Tuttle are here, and since, well, I got your name. I wanted to use Mr. Handy, but he's back there passing out hats that says, make faith great again. That'll get you for zinging me after the church service, sir. But Mr. and Mrs. Tuttle are here, and presumably you're in love. Can I switch to family? Because that was precious. One's like this, the other's like, argh. Okay, fine. Mr. Tuttle, what's your first name?
Brian.
With an I or a Y? Because that's important to me, because when I file it in my head, I got to have it alphabetical. I, fine. You probably get keychains with an I. With the Y, you're probably not going to find any keychains. Brian, did you ever do something dumb because you loved her? Yes. Do you remember when he used to do dumb stuff when just because he loved you? Yes. Has it been a long time, ma'am, for him to do dumb stuff? Yes. Okay, I see that. Love makes us do stuff that we wouldn't ordinarily do, but because of love, we do it. And verse 16, 17, and 18 give me five things that love does in my heart and should do in the heart of the believer. If you're writing things down, these will be very simple. Each point will start with love makes me. And that way, if you're bored while I'm trying to finish the next point, you're already ahead writing the next point. So love makes me. We're going to do that 5 times. Here's what love does. Number one, notice verse number 16. The very first thing I see that love does is love makes me give, just like my Savior. Notice in verse number 16, He laid down His life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Love makes us give. This card is a demonstration. I better hold it the right way. That'd be the worst illustration ever. Love is what makes us give. Love. You say, well, I give because of guilt. You're giving for the wrong motive. And if you need guilt to make you give, next week you're going to need more guilt to make you give. What we need to do is say, I'm giving because I have a loving willingness. Love is what makes me give. If you're giving for any other reason, you'll be frustrated. You say, well, I don't give because I don't love. That's a heart problem. He gave, we give. He had a loving willingness, we have a loving willingness. Number two, you see how fast this is going? Number two, love makes me see. Look in verse number 17. Verse one, love makes me give. Number two, love makes me see. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? I want to start with that first part. Love makes me see. What do you see when you drive through your neighborhood? What do you see when the buses arrive here at church with kids and adults in them coming to church? What do you see? If you see something that bothers you, mischief makers might mess up our new building. The building was built for the glory of God and to be used for His glory and honor. And I'll tell you, if you see people as a nuisance, you've missed what love ought to be doing to your life. Love ought to change how you look at people and see them as souls for whom Christ died. The person who cut you off in traffic, the person who drove slowly in front of you, the person who aggravated you at work. Love is what makes us not only give, but it makes us see people differently. And if you're not seeing people differently, you might be messed up in the love department. Because love will make you see. And love will make you give. Number three. Well, maybe I should share this with you first before we go to number three. By the way, you already know how the point's going to go. Love makes me. So you've already written it down. Could I tell you about a mission field? In this place, 6 out of 10 people claim no religion at all. Who would say that's a legitimate mission field? 6 out of 10 claim no religion. That's Hendricks County. So where's Hendricks County? Bingo. We don't play that, but you're here. 6 out of 10. Legitimate mission field? You said so before you knew the place. You see, what love does is love makes you, one, give. Number two, love makes you see. What if you looked at Hendricks County and instead of complaining about the traffic and the people and all of these things and claiming there's a church on every corner, why not look for the fact that 6 out of 10 people in your county answered a survey and said, we have no religion. Love makes you see that. Number three, love makes you decide. Look at the verse in the latter part of this verse, and it says, love shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him. Love makes you decide. I will do this or I will not do this. I have a card here. We call this a faith promise card. There's two parts. One side you turn in. Sorry, first day with my new hands. You turn this side in, you keep this side. Love makes you decide to give. Love makes you decide to see. Love makes you decide to obey. We ask you to put on here the name of a lost soul. A believer you're going to disciple. A missionary for whom you're going to pray. A nation, a people group that needs the Lord. Love makes you decide to do this. I do missions conferences like this most weeks of the month. I cannot tell you the times, the number of times, I cannot, of how many times people take a card and turn it in blank. Well, that's the decision. Deciding no is a decision. Deciding yes is a decision, but it's love which makes me decide, not just to take the card, but to turn it in. He says, shutteth up his bowels of compassion to say, nope, I'm not going to give, I'm not going to be a part of that, I'm not going to have anything to do with that. Love makes you decide. And if love is not making you decide, and you're giving out of shame, or guilt, or anger, or fear, you're motivated by the wrong motivations. It's love which makes us give. Do you have a loving willingness? Love makes you give, and love makes you see, and love makes you decide. Number four, love makes me check my heart. Note, if you would please, the last question of 17, how dwelleth the love of God in him? It's not a question of a condition necessarily, but it's rather a question of saying, how are you claiming association with God if there is no love for you to be able to say, we will support these missionary projects that are here? Note over here, just to my right here, to your left, we have all of these cards of missionaries for whom we've asked you to pray. These should be gone. So who are you, some visitor coming in telling us what we ought to... I'm just telling you, they need your prayer. These people groups... You say, what's a people group? Just pick up the card and read, you'll figure it out. But there are people in a place and there's a group of them and we pray for them. This is what we ought to be doing. Love makes me check my heart. How dwelleth the love of God? Say, oh, I love God and everybody. Really? Really? Well, I don't give to missions. I don't really love everybody, but I love God. Oh, see, love makes you check your heart. So how am I doing? So, well, I'm just fine. Hey, Caleb, imagine this for just a moment. I am in my bathroom at home. Don't think too much. I'm going to step on the... Caleb, focus. I'm going to step on the scale. The scale is going to read back numbers. They're none of your business. Only skinny people laugh like that. I stand on the scale and the number shows up. And if you're anything like me, you begin to negotiate. My shoes weigh 10 pounds. This jacket is... It's got raindrops on it. It's an extra 15 pounds. That scale has been broken. It's messed up. Yeah. Or it's just telling you the truth and you want to reject it for your own reason. You can justify that you're fine. But God knows the real number. Love makes you check your heart and say, God, what do you say about my loving willingness? There's nothing that is great of a test in missions than when we assess before God our loving willingness to be involved. Love makes me check my heart. How am I doing? Do the lost people in this world aggravate me? Do the people who do not see things like I see things or don't value things like I value things bother me so much that I am unwilling to share the gospel? I tell you, the fault is on me. If they don't know, why did we go through all of those protests around the country? Why? People need Jesus. Amen. That's all. It's not political. It's just proper. It's saying people need the Lord. Love makes me check my heart. Last one, and we'll will think about quitting. Notice the last verse of this section that I want to read in your hearing. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Number five, love makes me take action. It's one thing to stand and testify to say, oh, I love everybody. But how does love take action on a morning like this? Love takes action on a morning like this when we take our card and we say, I'm taking action. There's a believer I want to disciple. There's a soul I want to reach. There's a missionary for whom I want to pray. There's a nation that needs the Lord. There's an amount that I'm supposed to give. This is who we are as a church. This is what motivates us. It's not anything else but His love. And if you're not motivated by love, you're probably frustrated this morning. Probably aggravated. But if you say, God, rewire my heart, may love make me give. May love make me see. May love make me decide. May love make me check my heart. May love make me take action. Would you stand with me? Dear Father, thank you for your perfect law of liberty wherein we can look and see what manner of men and women we are. And for some this morning, they may not have liked the reflection they saw. Some do give, I know God, some do give out of obligation. Some give just because of the position they hold in the church. But God, may we be willing to say, may I have a loving willingness about which you approve. May I have a loving willingness that you declare over my life that says, John will give anything that you ask. Father, I think about Caleb and he talked about his stuff. Sleeping bags and cars and guns and a pen. There's people in this room who have a lot more stuff, I know, God. But may we genuinely look at it and say, may it be love which makes us give and see and decide. May it be love which makes us check our heart and take action. With heads bowed, eyes closed, and none looking around. What does God say about your loving willingness? You say, wow, our teenagers need to hear this today. No, their moms and dads do. And their grandmas and grandpas need to. All of us need to hear. Why am I doing this? I ask you this morning, check your heart. And if love is not what is driving you, then let's fix it at the altar today. So music begins to play. Father, may the hearts to whom you've spoken find liberty to come. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The altar is open. We're waiting for you. God, give me a loving willingness. The altar's open. Some are coming.